Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 216 at 16,677. The S&P 500 index up 23 at 1950. NASDAQ Composite up 69 at 44.52. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 5 basis points at 2.28%. Oil up $1.33 at $81.85 per barrel. Gold down $9.10 at $1,232.90 per ounce. Silver up 2 cents at $17.30. The S&P 500 has risen 5 times in the past 6 days. That pushes the index up 4.9% since October 15th, recouping about half the losses from a sell-off that began in mid-September. The S&P is still down about 3% from a record. The Federal Housing Finance Agency, which tracks deals involving mortgages backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, said home prices in August were up 4.8% from the year earlier period and up a seasonally adjusted 0.5% in August from July. The average rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage, 3.92%. That's down from 3.97% last week. And the average 15-year rate dropped to 3.08%, down from 3.18%. Mortgage rates are now at the lowest levels since the summer of 2013. Refinancing applications jumped 23% for the week ended October 17th. That's at an 11-month high. The number of people who applied for U.S. unemployment benefits rose by 17,000 last week to 283,000, but initial claims remaining below that key 300,000 level for the sixth straight week. The Conference Board's leading economic index rose 0.8% in September after no change in August. The index points toward improving employment and income growth, expected to support moderate economic expansion for the remainder of the year. The leading index is composed of 10 forward-pointing indicators. 9 of the 10 indicators showed strength in September, with the biggest positive contribution coming from a favorable spread of low interest rates. The only negative was average consumer expectations for business conditions. The Chicago Fed's National Activity Index rose to a positive 0.47 from a negative 0.25 in August. The three-month average stayed positive and accelerated to 0.25 from 0.16 in August, indicating the economy grew at an above-trend pace in September, recovering after a slower August. The Market Economics Flash Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index for the U.S. fell to 56.2 in October from 57.5 in September. The index is now at a three-month low. The rise in new orders was the slowest in 9 months. A number of businesses expressed caution about export sales, perhaps due to the stronger dollar. Input cost inflation eased to its weakest level in 6 months. Markets' Eurozone Composite Flash Purchasing Managers Index rose to 52.2 in October from 52 in September. Germany's private sector saw faster growth this month. France's business slump deepened, with business activity hitting an 8-month low. And in Britain, retail sales fell more than expected in September. Eurozone inflation slipped to its lowest for 5 years in September. And the Flash Index is just a subset of the broader economy. For example, today, Spain reported the number of people without a job dropped by 195,000 in the third quarter, and the unemployment rate dropped to 23.7%, which is still just incredibly lousy. China's Flash HSBC Market Manufacturing PMI edged up to a three-month high of 50.4, from a final reading of 50.2 in September. Russian stocks have been falling sharply this week. Standard & Poor's is scheduled to release a review of Russia tomorrow, and it is widely expected that they will cut Russia's credit rating to junk status. Last week, Moody's Investors Service cut Russia's debt rating by one notch, citing concerns over the Ukraine crisis and the international sanctions. The European Central Bank scheduled to release the results of its stress test for euro banks on Sunday. The test of 130 lenders is aimed at answering the questions many investors still have about the health of the region's banking system in the wake of the financial crisis. It's expected that most of the mega banks will pass the test, but there are estimates that as many as 20 mid-sized banks might fail. Federal Reserve will put U.S. banks through a stress test, and the methodology was released today. U.S. banks will have to show they can withstand a scenario where the unemployment rate jumps to 10%, the stock market dives by 60%, and oil prices reach $110 a barrel. The Dodd-Frank Act requires these tests of 31 of the largest banks with $50 billion or more in assets before the Fed signs off on stock buybacks and dividends. The eight largest banks will also have to test for counterparty defaults, and six with large trading operations will have to test for a global market shock scenario. Those details haven't been released yet. All the banks must submit these capital plans by January of 2015. Last year, Citi, Zions Bancorp, and three foreign banks failed the test, and Bank of America was forced to suspend a planned increase in its dividend and a stock buyback after finding it had erroneously reported $4 billion more in capital than it actually had. After a sharp fall, crude oil seems to be finding support at about $80 a barrel. Last week, the intraday price dipped below 80, but we have not seen a closing price under 80. Today, the price dipped down to $80.05, then rallied. The past 10 sessions have created a symmetrical triangle on the charts, and within the next few days, we should see a break from that pattern. Whichever way the market breaks out or breaks down from that triangle pattern could be the way the trend goes for a long period. There's a tendency to go out of this pattern the same way we came in, which would be going down, but right now the prudent move is to wait and let the market tell us whether it can hold this important level of support. General Motors today disclosed in a Securities and Exchange Commission filing that its GM financial unit was served with additional investigative subpoenas to produce documents from state attorneys general and other governmental offices relating to its subprime auto finance business and securitization of subprime auto loans. General Motors today said it earned $1.4 billion in the third quarter on strength in North America and China, where newly introduced models are more profitable than the ones they replace. That's up from $700 million, or 45 cents per share, in the 2013 third quarter. Revenue was $39 billion, down slightly from a year ago at $39.3 billion. The earnings equaled 81 cents a share, a little lower than the 97 cents analyst expected. But the 81 cents is minus a special charge of 16 cents. That was primarily for repairing flood damage at the Technical Center in Michigan and charges in Russia for lost value of long-term assets. It is earnings reporting season. 3M reported strong growth in U.S. sales and raised its full-year earnings forecast higher. In the latest quarter, profit totaled $1.3 billion, or $1.98 per share. That's up from $1.23 billion, or $1.78 per share. Sales grew 2.8% to $8.1 billion. Wall Street had expected earnings of $1.96, so they beat there. Caterpillar reported third-quarter net income rose to $1.63 a share from $1.45 a year earlier, and excluding one-time items, profit was $1.72. That topped estimates of $1.35. Caterpillar said per-share earnings, excluding one-time items for the year, are expected to be $6.50, 30 cents higher than previously projected. Now, in a sign that earnings do still matter in the stock market, just look at 3M and Caterpillar today. 3M was up $6.10 at 145.05. That added about 25 points to the Dow Industrial Average. Caterpillar was up $4.97 at 99.27, adding about 45 points to the Dow. Big move, two stocks. Microsoft reported earnings of 54 cents per share on revenue of $23.2 billion, beating Wall Street estimates of 49 cents on revenue of $22 billion. Microsoft is up about 4% today. Amazon reported a third-quarter loss and revenue that missed analyst expectations and then salt on the wound. Amazon projected weaker-than-expected sales for the important holiday quarter. The company posted a loss of 95 cents per share compared to a loss of 9 cents per share in the year-earlier period. 3 months ago, analysts thought the company would lose 7 cents a share in the third quarter. Then, after Amazon ratcheted down expectations, the estimated loss swelled tenfold to 74 cents, and today they missed that by 21 cents. Revenue for the quarter came in at $20.5 billion against the comparable year-ago figure of $17 billion. Amazon tanked in after-hours trading down 13%. And even with Amazon likely to hit $100 billion a year in revenue next year, it is having a hard time making a profit. And that's getting to be a familiar story. Last time Amazon made a profit in the third quarter, back in 2011. Sears is closing 77 Sears and Kmart stores, cutting 5,300 jobs. And that's not even the worst news. Most of the store closures will happen before Christmas, which makes it look like Sears is just throwing in the towel. Even the stores that won't close until after the holidays are already holding going-out-of-business sales rather than gearing up for seasonal promotions. Sears Holdings was up 4.4% on the news today. Go figure. American Airlines earned $942 million profit in the third quarter. The company said it was the biggest profit ever for a quarter, and it was 87% higher than the amount that American and U.S. Airways earned separately last year before their December 2013 merger. Doug Parker, the CEO, predicted more records for fourth quarter and full year earnings. United Continental posted net income of $924 million, up from $379 million a year ago. Southwest profit rose 27% to $329 million. All three companies beat Wall Street expectations for earnings. The airlines increased ticket prices back in April. Since then, fuel prices have dropped about 20%. That works out to millions in savings. But if you're thinking those fuel savings will be passed along to flyers in the form of lower fares, well, that's just hilarious. Recent mergers have reduced competition, helped the airlines limit the number of flights, making it easier to increase fares. And the big airlines have just pushed through a fare increase on domestic routes. Follow along, moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. And the daily blog is eatthebankers.com. eatthebankers.com.